Good morning. If you feel that you're a little bit closer to me this morning, you are. Everything seems to be moved forward. That's so I can see the whites of your eyes. I can see how you're responding and reacting to what we're saying. Well, this morning there's been a real sense of God being here and wanting to do something. And part of what I want to say this morning is around our maturing process, our growing in God. We're focusing at the moment as a church about how we grow into mature believers, how we can face the things of life and not fail and not fall, but be victorious. That's where God wants us to be. He gave us this life that is a life pressed down, shaken together and running over. He didn't give us a life that we would be in fear and weakness and defeat. He wants us to be victorious in our everyday living. And so we're just going to, for a week or two, just focus around that. I think it's really important for the Church of Jesus Christ, not just this church, but every believer in the world has got to be on this pathway to growing in God, maturing in God, so that we can really demonstrate in the way that we live that God is real, that God is a transformational God, that God actually helps us deal with the stuff of life and be victorious. That is an awesome statement to our world and for us, to our community and those who know us. God will never fail. We've just sang that, haven't we? Turn your phones off if you've got one. Otherwise it's quite embarrassing, isn't it? We all know it's you. We're done. God will never fail. Yet we can live in a place where we think God is failing. And that's because we can be immature in our understanding of our faith. We can lack growth in our understanding of who God is because we don't understand God. God will never fail. But then there's a bit of a clue at the end of the song that we've been singing. We've just been singing that, by the way. God will never fail. It says, I sought the Lord, he heard and he answered. God will never fail. So are you seeking the Lord? Has he heard it and has he answered? Because so often as believers, we are led by our emotions in our relationship with God, and we just assume that he's going to get everything right for us all the time, and we get disappointed if he don't work out because we're not seeking the Lord, we're not sure that he's answered, and we fail to really get everything that God has got for us. But he will never fail. The Bible tells us that God will never fail. The world may come to an end, but God will never fail. All kinds of things in this world will happen, but God will never fail. And we need to understand that, because so often in life we can be facing what we consider failure and we wonder where God is in it, but we've got to understand that God will never fail. You see, God is always working. He's always doing stuff, but we sometimes don't recognize it because we're not God. And he's doing things in our lives through circumstances, through relationships, just through life itself. He's trying to do something. We're just having one of those mornings with the mic. You'll just have to excuse us. We don't know what it is. Have to bear with us. This happens every now and again. We've got no idea what it is. Is he trying to shut me up? I'll come in tomorrow and fiddle around with everything and it won't do it. So such is life. But we really need to get ourselves into a place where no matter what life throws at us, no matter what we're experiencing, that we're responding to a God in an attitude that says he will never fail. I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to seek him. I know he's going to hear me, and I know he's going to answer. And let's stand firm in that. Let's not be blown around by circumstances and led by our emotions and be defeated in life. That's not what God came to die for and give us. He gives us life. He gives us abundant life. He gives us victorious life, not necessarily an easy life, which is really what we all want, don't we? We all want an easy life where everything just goes our way. We don't have to deal with anything and it's wonderful. But that, as we know, isn't life. But when we put God into it, we begin to understand our circumstances a little better. You see, God is always trying to grow us. And sometimes that comes through pain, believe it or not. We grow through pain. We grow through circumstances because we've got to learn how to trust in God. We've got to learn how to seek his face. We've got to learn how to ask him so that he can answer. And sometimes we get so upset with God, we get so emotionally involved with it, and we get so unhappy that we forget that God actually will never fail. He will never fail. Matthew, that won't be sermon either. I'm going to start it now. Matthew 16, verse 18, and Ephesians 3, verse 10. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That sounds to me like a victorious church. Sounds to me like something that is going to be overcoming and fighting against the gates of hell, but we will not be overcome if we believe God will never fail. If we are mature in our faith. See, Christ intended that the church, and that's each one of us, that we should be a powerful force that displays God to the world. That's it. We've got to go and make disciples. We've got to be mature enough in our faith to go and make disciples. We've got to be able to display the manifold wisdom of God to everybody around us and to those kingdoms that are in heavenly realms. We are more powerful than what they are. And that's God's intention for the church. But for the church to do this, we have to be strong spiritually. That means that together we must be growing in the grace of God. Not one or two, but the whole body must be growing together. And those of you that have been coming to the Growing Together sessions that we've had will understand that it's so important that we are together, because together we grow. If you're an individual and you don't ever meet here, you're not part of the church, your growth process is very limited, because God designed the church. He said you're a body that fits together. Everybody's got their part to play. Everybody has got something to give. Everybody has got something to bring on a Sunday morning where you can encourage, you can challenge, you can reveal truth to those around us, and together we grow. Growing in God is critical to our maturity as a believer. And often we don't know how mature we are until we face the stuff of life. It reveals who we are in God. When we're facing those difficulties, what do we do? Where do we go? Do we go directly to God, or do we try and work it out? Do we try and be driven by our own thought processes, by the way that we have always lived, or do we allow God to be introduced? Do we seek the Lord and let him be part of what is happening? See, salvation is an amazing gift. It's free. It's a grace gift. That means we don't deserve it, but God gives it to us. This is an amazing gift that God gives to each of us. But the day we are born again, the day we come to know God in that very real way, the day we ask him to forgive our sin and to be living in our hearts, to bring us alive in God, that's day one. That isn't the end of the story. That's just the beginning. And it's our responsibility to take hold of what God has given us and allow it to grow us, allow it to transform us, allow it to mature us so that we can be a display to all around us that God is real, that God actually is transforming who I am. He's changing me. He's turning me into something that is more reflective of who God is. He's turning me into somebody who is at peace with God and at peace with everybody else, who knows how to live in the freedom of all that God has got for us and not to be overcome by circumstances. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And I've said before that God will never fail. If we're having problems with God, usually it's we're having problems with ourselves, because we either don't understand what God is trying to do, or we are weak in our growth or weak in our faith. That wasn't what God ever intended. 2 Peter 1, 5-11 says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," we are growing, "they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus." There is a process that is going on in our lives. And if we want to be strong in God, then we've got to be involved in that process. We've got to understand that process. We've got to be part of that process. God works in our hearts when we give him permission, when we work with him. But if we don't, there's not a lot he can do. And so often, as believers, we're looking for the wrong things. If you want to know what you should be doing, read 2 Peter 1, 5-11. There is a growth process. There is a path to maturity that produces something in our hearts and in our lives that displays the kingdom of God. And we won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. We won't be knocked down every time something happens in our lives. We will stand firm in what God has got for us. One of the things that I'm aware of is when I'm speaking, there is a responsibility every time somebody speaks at the front, because we're trying to bring something of what we believe God is saying to us as a church. So I'm giving you information. The thing about information is you've got to do something with it, and I have as well. You know, information is one thing. I think I was saying this week that I go to physiotherapy and chiropractors because I've got a back that needs sorting out. And I know all the exercises to do. I know exactly what to do. No. But do I do it? That's up to me. I've got all the information. I've got all the knowledge. But if I don't do it, it ain't going to work. And I can go back and say, my back's still painful. So have you done the exercises? No. What do you expect then? And sometimes in our Christian life, we have an image of God where he's going to somehow zap us and we're going to be, whoa, this is awesome. But we aren't designed like that, and our relationship with God isn't like that. He will only work when we seek him, when we ask, when we're working with him, when we're doing the things that we should be doing. Then God can begin to work. So we have a decision that we all have to make every day about, what are we going to do? Are we going to do it or not? We see in the Bible people who came to Jesus and had conversations with him about, who are you? What do I do to obtain eternal life? How do I access all this stuff that you're talking about? And Jesus would give truth. He would say, this is what you need to do. This is who I am. There was a rich young ruler went to Jesus, wasn't there? And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, go and give everything away. And it says the young man went away sorrowful because he was given truth, but he didn't want to act on it. And sometimes we can be in church and we can be given truth, but sometimes that truth is actually hard to understand, it's hard to swallow, and it's hard to do. Well, that's the challenge of the truth of who God is. And sometimes we can walk away disappointed because we don't want to do what God is asking us to do. And in our spiritual life, we can go through periods of being ineffective. That's usually when we disconnect with God. We stop growing. And this can lead to us being spiritually dead. Now that I've upset you all enough, let's look at what we do. The great thing about God, and we've sang this morning about His grace amazes us. When we begin to understand the grace of Jesus Christ, it is an amazing gift that we've been given. And we understand the grace process for salvation. We know that by grace we are saved. In other words, we are not worthy to be in the same room as God. But because of His love for us and His forgiving nature, He sent Jesus, who became the sacrifice that made a way for us. And we know that although we are not worthy, because of His worthiness, we are saved. And we come into a relationship with God. But we need grace every day of our lives, not just on the day that we're born again. His grace is poured into our hearts through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about grace, we're talking about all the promises of God. As we read the Word, there is some amazing statements of faith in there. God wants us to live in those, and He gives us to them to us through His grace, because we don't deserve it, but He gives His grace to us. And if we're struggling in our Christian life, or if we've got it wrong, His grace is amazing. We can just go to Him and we can confess and be forgiven and begin growing again. We are never discarded by God. Often we will discard ourselves or discount ourselves because of our actions, but God never does. He's always got plans for us and purposes for us. They never change. But we need to be in a place where we are growing in order to receive what God has got for us. We've got to be in a place of connectivity to the vine. So if we are struggling a little bit, just talk to God about it. His grace is amazing. And we get a great picture of the grace and the love of God when we read the parable or the story of the son that went away. We call it the prodigal son, don't we? Give me everything, Dad, that I might go away and live my life. And the father did. And the son went and wasted all the money and came back. I don't know if you can imagine what that must have felt like for the son to actually go back after wrecking his life, ruining it, spending everything, being so low that you're working on a farm and eating the food that the animals eat. And then comes this revelation to the son. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? And that was like a light bulb moment, because he knew that if he went home to his father, there is food in my father's house. I'll go and be a servant in my father's house. At least I'll be fed and I'll be dressed and I'll be watered. And the father is looking for the son every day. And as he sees him, he runs to him, throws his arms around him and welcomes him back in. That is a real picture of the love and the grace that God has got for each of us. If we get it wrong, He can't wait for us to come back. He can't wait to forgive us. He can't wait to begin working in our lives again. So one of the greatest battles that we do have in our walk with God
And sometimes in the way that we live, in our lives, is the battle that we have with ourselves. And part of the maturing process is putting God's grace into operation through faith and understanding every day that God loves us, that we are forgiven, that He is a good, good Father, that He will never fail. That's what God's trying to do in our hearts and in our lives, day by day. See, the enemy will tell you that you failed, that you're rubbish, that God isn't interested in you, that there's no way back. But God will never fail in His love and His grace towards us. And we've got to seek the Lord, knowing that He's heard us, and He will answer. See, we're in a spiritual battle, and our enemy wants us to fail. Satan does not want you to grow as a believer, to be an overcoming believer, to be powerful in your faith, to begin to influence those around you. He doesn't want that. So you are in a battle. We've got to understand that we are targets of the enemy, and you are. He will try and destroy you, usually by what's going on in our mind. So let's just read the parable of the sower. It just helps us understand what's going on and what we can do to grow. So when you hear, anyone here, this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He's just given the parable of the sower that went out to sow seeds, and some fell on the path, some fell on stony ground, some fell on shallow ground, some fell on good ground, and each seed responded according to where it had been sown. And this is Jesus explaining to His disciples what exactly that meant. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. And we see so often people come to church and they hear the word, but it's snatched away because they're not quite understanding it. The enemy just snatches it away. He destroys it before it's born. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they're not growing, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And I always say at this point when I'm reading this that we've got to produce good soil in our hearts, in our lives, so that the seed that is planted grows and produces fruit. So we've got to do something about soil preparation, what we're doing in our heart. I'm not a gardener. I hate gardening. It's always pulling weeds out. It never seems to be any pleasure in it at all to me. I have to water them all the time. These things grow. I don't know whether they're flowers or weeds. But I know that if you don't have good soil, nothing grows. And so in our lives, we've got to produce ground that is good soil, so that the word of God can grow in our hearts. We do that by reading the word, by being part of church, by listening, understanding, and then doing. I think so often in our Christian walk, we read, we understand, but we forget the do. And we've got to do. We've got to do it. So the spiritual battle that we're in, if we know it, then we can do something about it. If you didn't know you're in a battle, you very easily get killed. But if we know we're in a battle, then we can do something about it to make sure that we are not defeated. And we read in Ephesians 6 this is the armour of God. I'm not going to talk about it in any great detail, other than we have weapons and we have defence mechanisms that God has given to us. But what we've got to do? Put it on. We've got to do it. So therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, I love this, to stand. When we are sure that God will never fail, and we know it in our hearts, we can stand, because we're not knocked down by life that comes along. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So there is things that we can do to overcome any attack. And I was thinking about this. We can almost put all our armour on and still do a runner. That's why we've got to stand firm. We've got to stand firm in our faith and our understanding of what's going on. And in the battles that we face in life, the spiritual battles that we are involved with, we use the armour of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we don't know the word of God, we can't use it. So knowing the word of God is critical to our survival and growth as believers. It says in Romans 8:5, and I don't think you've got this one. Those who live according to the flesh, that's the way of the world, the way the world thinks, being driven by desires that are not godly but just human desires. So those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So we've got to desire spiritual things. We've got to desire the things of God. And that's what we get. If you set your mind on earthly things, that's what you'll get. So we've got to retune our thinking and our thought processes, what we read, where we go, what we do, and have spiritual desires at the heart of all that we do. So to defeat our enemy, so as we're growing in God and understanding the battle, to defeat our enemy, we need to understand that we are in a battle. We need to set our minds and our hearts to focus on God. Read, pray, fellowship, that will never change. Sometimes we want it to be easier than that, but it's not. Read, pray, fellowship. Read, pray, fellowship. When we do those things, we begin to grow in God. We are preparing the ground for God to do something with us. We are in a battle. Sometimes it may not seem like they are, but we are. Even in our growing, we can be in a battle, not with anybody else, but with ourselves. And you know, and I know, that when you try to change something about your routine, the way you think, the way you speak, something that is against your nature, you will find out where the reality of battles really lies. When we have to pray for somebody else, when we have to forgive somebody else, when we have to put others first, when we have to take up our cross daily, if that's not part of our natural behavior, as it's not, until we come to Christ and he begins to work on some of these areas in our lives, then we know the reality of the battle that we're facing with ourselves. Our old nature is always battling with us. We've got to recognize that so that we can deal with it. We've got to seek God, because he will never fail as we put him first. Hebrews 12:1 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we've got to do something here. It's the doing again. Throw off everything that hinders. So there's some things that you will be part of who you are. I've got things that are part of who I am that hinders me. My own desires, my own wants, my own wishes can hinder me in my growth. And the sin that so easily entangles us. I believe we've all got these. Those things that are drivers in our lives that so easily entangle us and stop us running the race. You'll know what yours are. I know what mine are. But we can get so caught up in the things that hinder us, the thing that so easily entangles us, that we forget that we're in this race, that we are in this journey to maturity, that we're in this battle, and God wants us to be victorious. We've put on the armor of God, but we still have to stand firm. Knowledge is helpful if it moves us to action, and this requires a determination in our heart to put our faith in God. Knowledge is helpful because it gives us the opportunity to move, to do something, but we have to be determined in our own heart to do it, because sometimes the things that we have to be determined about are quite hard to deal with, especially when we're trying to deal with the things of the heart. The more we do things, the stronger we become in our faith. Just like any exercise, the more you do it, the stronger you become. The more you exercise, the stronger you become. And it can be painful at first when we exercise, and quite unpleasant. I've experienced that. I tried running, well, I did run a few years ago. I did a 10K. I thought I'd do one of those. Why not? I started running and I thought, what a waste of time this is. And I never actually, I did do it, I did it twice, but I never got to a point in my sort of training where it wasn't painful. Every time I went out, it was painful. And I thought, this is so unpleasant. What is happening here? I thought after a few goes at it, it would become quite pleasant, but it never did. So I give up. I thought, I'm not doing that again, it's too hard. But we can be like that with our Christian life. We can begin, yeah, this is great, this I'm gonna put things right in my life, I'm gonna be determined to see it through. And then we hit a bit of pain. We go, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think that would happen. And we get over the first bit of pain and think, oh, I've done it. And then there's another bit of pain that comes because God is dealing with us. And it's painful. But we've got to be determined to see it through. We've got to be determined not to allow ourselves to stop ourselves growing. We've got to be determined that if we're going to see the fruit of all that God is doing in our lives, he says, don't grow weary with doing good things. Don't grow weary with it, because if you grow weary with it and you stop, you'll never see what God has got for you. And I think sometimes we need to reassess where we are in God and go, I've got it wrong. I really need help here. God, can you forgive me? Yes. Because he will never fail. His love will never fail. His grace will never fail. Let's seek the Lord, knowing he's heard us and he answers. His answers are not always the answers that we want, but he always answers. And so let's together be determined to grow. So that means you've got to read your word. You've got to know that. Well, do it. I've got to pray. Yeah, I know that. Well, do it. I've got to be part of church. Yeah, I know that. But it's, you know, it's a bit early, isn't it? 10:30 on a Sunday morning, that's far too early. Well, no. You've got to be determined to do it. Because that's part of growing in God. We have to toughen up. We have to be determined. We have to, as Peter said, make every effort. Doesn't sound very pleasant. Make every effort that you can to grow. So my heart for the church is that it displays the manifold wisdom of God. And to do that, we've got to be in a position where God is working in our lives. where he's growing us, where fruit is being evidenced in the way that we live. And you know what? That will change the world. That's all it needs. He needs us to grow in God and be determined that no matter what, we're not going to stop. Thank you for listening to me this morning. If you want to talk to me about that, please do. We're meeting, those that met, I'll just say this while I'm speaking, those that met to do the Growing Together course that we've just done, we're meeting again on the 1st of August. Come along, don't feel excluded. But we're trying to cause growth here. And sometimes that's hard because we talk about accountability. We're talking about talking to one another about what have you read? Have you read the Bible this week? Yeah, I have. What did it say? Well, it revealed this to my heart. We want to grow. Have you prayed this week? Yeah, I've prayed for something. And God has told me this or revealed something to my heart. Brilliant. Have you talked to anybody about God? Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And you know, when you begin to talk to people about God, your faith just rises. It's an amazing process. So we're meeting on the 1st of August just to go through some of those things. But we want to grow. We want to be strong. We want to be a church that stands firm and understands that God will never fail. Amen.